Have you ever sat by a campfire and just watched? I grew up going to camps of various types. 3 years of Girl Scout camp, 10 years as a camper and counselor at a girls' camp, and countless summers counseling and directing church camps in various places and for various ages. And in all those experiences, sitting quietly just watching a campfire is probably in my top five favorite things to do at camp. There's something magical and meditative about watching the flames dance, observing the yellows and the reds and oranges, watching the coals change color over and over, and contemplating the massive power contained in a simple campfire. A fire's power can be harnessed, like when we cooked campfire potatoes and apple cobbler at the Christian Conference Center in Iowa, or when we toast marshmallows for s'mores at Camp Christian. I may be one of the only people patient enough to toast the marshmallows to a golden brown, but boy, is it worth the wait. But a fire's power can also be unleashed, like the Rim Fire that burned 250,000 acres of forest near Yosemite National Park in 2013, or the ironically named Camp Fire that destroyed 153,000 acres and leveled the town of Paradise in Northern California in 2018. Fire unleashed has the power to change lives dramatically. This morning we celebrate Pentecost in a blaze of red and words filled with wind and fire and spirit imagery. In the Christian tradition, Pentecost was the day when the first disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit in a rush of light and sound that overwhelmed them and brought the crowds to see what was going on. And that gift of the Holy Spirit changed everything. In a single day, the Apostle Peter preached the first Christian sermon, telling all who listened to repent, believe in the risen Christ, and be baptized. And suddenly, what began as a small sect of Judaism, a nearly unnoticed movement called the Way, expanded by leaps and bounds. The events of Pentecost reshaped everything, just as a destructive wildfire reshapes the land it consumes. But before we dig deeper into the story, it's important to understand the festival of Pentecost before the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The word Pentecost means 50th. In ancient Israel, Pentecost was a Jewish festival held 50 days after the Passover to celebrate the spring barley harvest. It was also known as the Festival of Weeks. Over the centuries, the focus of Pentecost, or Shavuot, had shifted from a celebration of the harvest to a celebration of the Jewish law. According to ancient tradition, the day of Pentecost was the day Moses received the law from God on Mount Sinai. First century Jews celebrated Pentecost as an opportunity to thank God and renew their covenant with God. It was one of three pilgrimage festivals when thousands of faithful Jews made the long trek from their homes to Jerusalem to celebrate, a time to come together in gratitude with other faithful Jews. And so, 50 days after the resurrection and 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, the disciples were all gathered in one place, presumably to celebrate Pentecost together. It's not clear whether those gathered were only the 12 or the larger group of about 150 disciples who had remained in Jerusalem and kept vigil since the resurrection. In any case, it's easy to imagine they were filled with mixed emotions. After all, their beloved teacher had been violently killed by the government less than 2 months earlier, then reappeared 3 days later, eaten with them, commissioned them to carry on his work, told them to wait in Jerusalem for further instructions, and then been carried up into heaven as they watched. It was a lot to process in a short period of time. I feel sure there was some confusion, some anxiety, maybe some finger twiddling and pacing as they waited day after day without receiving those instructions that Jesus had promised. And then, on the day of one of the biggest Jewish festivals, everything changed. The imagery in Acts is vivid in its description. A sound like the rush of a violent wind filled the house, and divided tongues like fire appeared and rested on them. And they didn't have much time to wonder what was happening, for all of a sudden they found themselves all talking at once, speaking about God's deeds of power. But here's the strange part. Each of them was speaking in a different language, a language they had never studied nor learned. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in all the various languages of the world. Whether the group was made up of 12 people or 150 or some number in between, imagine the noise with everyone talking in different languages all at once. Not surprisingly, a large crowd of people nearby heard the cacophony and came running to see what was happening. And they were filled with confusion when they realized that the people were speaking their languages, all of their languages. Despite being from many different cities across a wide geographic area, all of them heard the message in their native tongue. So the people listening were amazed and bewildered. Some of them mocked the disciples, assuming they must be drunk or filled with new wine. And yet they were about to discover that something much more amazing and life-changing was actually taking place. The imagery describing the arrival of the Holy Spirit is powerful. It's also filled with symbolism. Wind and fire were used throughout the Old Testament to represent the presence and the power of God. The rush of a mighty wind was an allusion to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, which says, "The earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." Remember also that God appeared to Moses in a bush that was on fire, and later guided the Israelites through the wilderness at night in a pillar of fire. The disciples gathered would have recognized wind and fire as representing the presence of God in their midst. And the gift of speaking many languages is also rich with symbolism, connecting back to the Tower of Babel. Perhaps you remember this story from Genesis. After the great flood, the people who inhabited the earth all spoke one language and lived united. They came together to construct a majestic city that reached up all the way up into the heavens in order to make a name for themselves. God was concerned that the people had too much power, and so God confused their speech, giving them many different languages so that they could no longer understand each other, and scattered the people to many different parts of the world. The story of Pentecost is a story of redemption, a reversal of the confusion that happened at the Tower of Babel. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit removed the language barrier, if only for a moment, and created a place where everyone gathered could hear and understand the good news, even though they spoke many different languages and dialects. And at its most basic, the story of Pentecost is a story of inclusion. The Holy Spirit ensured that God's good news was available for everyone gathered there. Not just those who had grown up in Jerusalem, not just those born into Judaism, not just those who spoke the same language as the disciples, everyone. The author of Acts made sure later readers of the Pentecost story would not miss this point. Those listening were from every people under the heaven, including a long list of cities across the Middle East, from present-day Iran and Turkey to northern Africa. Thanks to Ruthie for reading all of those names for us. This moment in Pentecost marks the beginning of the Christian church, a church that was established to be inclusive from the very beginning. Over time, too many Christians have strayed from this message that, as you know I say, everyone is included in God's saving grace. Unfortunately, it's far too easy to see ourselves and people just like us as God's beloved people, but to forget or ignore that God's love also includes those who look very different from us and live far away from us. Even the early disciples struggled to maintain the ideal of inclusion as they started to found churches in the area near Jerusalem. Women were a central part of the earliest group of disciples. Yet by the end of the book of Acts, nearly all of the preachers and teachers and leaders of the earliest churches were men. And the idea that women cannot preach or lead a church persists in many Christian denominations even today, despite the fact that women were the first witnesses to the resurrection and the first ones to spread the good news. Regrettably, many churches today still exclude people, explicitly or implicitly, by worshiping in buildings that are not accessible to people with mobility issues or without transportation, by speaking in churchy language that those not raised in Christianity don't understand, by singing only one kind of music, by setting rules and limits on who can speak in the church or be baptized or participate in communion or hold leadership roles. And yet the story of Pentecost reminds us that God's love, God's grace, and God's church is for each and every one of us, young, old, or in between, tall, short, or in between, educated, uneducated, gay, straight, employed, unemployed, everyone. The story of Pentecost is also a story of tradition and change. On a day when the followers of Jesus were gathered, expecting to celebrate God's gift of the law and God's covenant with the Jewish people, the Holy Spirit whooshed in and changed everything. A traditional festival steeped in Jewish history became part of God's new covenant with everyone, just as Jesus had changed the meaning of the Passover celebration by instituting the Last Supper on that night a little more than 50 days earlier. In the same way, we as a church have experienced old traditions transforming into new experiences. When the COVID pandemic hit suddenly in early 2020, churches around the world had to give up many of our traditions and find new ways of doing and being church together. Online services replaced face-to-face worship. A cracker and water at home replaced our familiar communion elements. And church meetings moved from the building to Zoom. And although we felt forced into many of the changes and overwhelmed by so much change, we have learned some powerful things from our COVID experiences. We have discovered that it's not necessary to drive back to the church building on Sunday evenings once a month for leadership council meetings. We can conduct the church business just as smoothly on Zoom, and we even get to see each other's pets from time to time. We've also recognized the value of being together in person, and now are less likely to take in-person worship and fellowship meals and other activities for granted. And we have developed the tools to live stream our worship, which enables many more people to experience worship with us, even if they are sick or unable to get out or live a long distance away. Even in a difficult period like the COVID pandemic, the Holy Spirit was at work in our lives and our faith community, taking our familiar traditions and reshaping them into something new. Where else do you see the Spirit at work in our congregation? Think about it for a second. And how might the Spirit continue to transform us in the future? It might be with a flooded building, although I hope not, we've been there and done that. It might be with new people the Spirit sends into our midst. It might be with a community need that the Spirit calls us to address. It's our job to be alert and watch for the Spirit's guidance, because it often comes at unexpected times with a force that overwhelms us and forces us to pay attention. The wind the disciples encountered on that day of Pentecost wasn't just a gentle little breeze that ruffled their hair. It was a full-on gale of wind that roared through the house and probably took their breath away. It's not the kind of wind you could just ignore. They had to pay attention to adapt their lives and to move forward. Suddenly, in that moment, their lives were reshaped with a new energy and purpose, with new visions and dreams for their ministry. They found their voice and their energy and their drive. And the Spirit inspired the disciples to act. Without stopping to think about it first, they began to preach the good news, not just in their own language, but in the languages of all the different people gathered around them. The people were excited and inspired by what they were hearing. In just one day, about 3,000 people heard and believed that Jesus was the Messiah, repented of their sins, and committed themselves to the new Christian movement by being baptized in the name of Jesus. And those baptisms were just the beginning for those new believers. They started meeting together to pray and eat. They took care of each other. They shared their belongings. They went out to other places and preached what they had heard, and they continued to bring new believers into the faith. The day of Pentecost was a rebirth, almost like a second resurrection. With a rush of wind and tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit moved among the early Christians in surprising ways, inspiring them to new visions and dreams, giving them the power Jesus had promised before he ascended into heaven, and leading them to act out their faith by making space for everyone. We too are called by God and guided by the Holy Spirit to do the same. What visions and dreams do we have for our congregation here in Lawrenceville, and how will each of us work to make them a reality? No matter what our visions, no matter how new and different and scary they might feel, remember, the Holy Spirit is right here with us, in this very room, giving us strength and courage to do God's work in the world. Are you ready? Let's go and do. Amen.